making sense of it all.
My rant is to do with the Christian media.
Right.
What's wrong with media. Christian media, Steve?
Well, not so much radio. sort of leaves the TV sector, and not going to name any names. So I know we have someone here who works in Christian TV. That includes me, I suppose. But, it's just the way that manipulations actually happen, and how people can be sort of sucked into stuff that is not has absolutely nothing to do with Christianity in any way. And the problem is when Christian TV has these times where they have to get money in. I suppose part of it is the way that Christian TV is financed, because it's a small market. You don't make much money out of advertising or sponsorship. So really they have to make their money out by donations from Christians, which is okay if it's done in a very subtle way. But unfortunately, once or twice a year, a lot of the channels have what's called like a telethon or missions week or something like that, where all I can say is they use every manipulation you can imagine to con money out of people. And you know, I could use stronger words than that, but the fact is that the way that they do it is deliberately twisting the words of scripture in order to justify the fact that people will get millions of different blessings if they pay money to this channel. And the stuff that's come out recently, I mean, particularly, you know, with the fact that we haven't got much money these days because of the credit crunch and the bank problems. They're in a quandary, you know, these ministries. They think, well, people don't want to give when they haven't got any money because of, you know, the credit crunch. So let's think of new ways to excite them even more. And so they've basically upped their game. And what they do is they hire in people who are professional fundraisers who go from Christian channel to Christian channel, using techniques to get money out of people. And there's one that I'm just going to mention, not going to mention his name, but the only reason why it sort of riled me is because I was doing a study on it at the time anyway, and that is we're at the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, a Jewish festival, which is an 8-day period, which is, you know, a period of joy, and it's to commemorate the Jews in the wilderness at the time of Moses, where they lived in temporary shelters called tabernacles. So this chap comes along and says, right, how can we use the Feast of Tabernacles to get more money out of people? So what he does, he looks through scripture and he thinks he's found something somewhere else. And he's connected tabernacles with a chapter in the book of Joel chapter 2. This is historic because no one in the history of Christianity has ever connected Feast of Tabernacles with the book of Joel. I mean, the reason why he's done this is because he's had a prophetic dream, or he's had a prophecy. He says, God has told me to connect these two up. So what he does, he looks at this prophecy in Joel, and the gist of it is that something happens in the first month of the year, saying the first month of the Jewish year, these former rains and the latter rains will come down and start showering blessings on people. The thing is, if he actually understood the Bible, he actually hasn't picked the first month of the year, because tabernacles, people think is the first month of the year, but it isn't. It's the first month of the civic year, but it's not the first month in the biblical year. So he's already at the beginning of his study, he's got the wrong month. So everything that comes after this is ridiculous. I mean, it's ridiculous anyway. So, you know, anyone that does the simplest of study will know it's not the first month. But he goes on and he goes through and he reinterprets the words of the Joel prophecy. In the Joel prophecy, it talks about getting corn. It talks about corn, it talks about wine, and it talks about oil. And he reinterprets all three words. For corn, suddenly corn means money. So when God says you will get an increase in corn, it means you'll get an increase in money.
I'm trying to buy things for corn. Yeah. Love a car, yeah. Get out some corn.
And for oil, he's got an increase in a special kind of anointing that will stop the devil from taking things away from you.
Wow, it's quite a leap.
Yeah. And then he mentions something called the double portion of blessing, which isn't even in the words of that scripture. I could go on and on and on. But basically, the whole idea is anyone who gives money to this ministry, because it's the Feast of Tabernacles and because it's the Joel prophecy, they will get all these increases. Now, then he thinks to himself, wait a minute, but then I must find something in the scripture that says you only get these increases if you give money to the channel. You know, it's not for everyone, otherwise no one will give money, you know, and I've lost my argument. So he says, there's one part of it that says, and during this festival you must rejoice. And he's reinterpreted the word rejoice by saying, well, rejoice is something that you do. It's a doing thing. So in our context, rejoice is putting your money in your pocket and giving money. And he's reinterpreted the word rejoice. So the whole thing from start to finish is complete misuse of scripture in the most disgusting way imaginable. And they've based their whole fundraising efforts on this prophecy. Whatever.
Well, rejoice in the Lord always. Now, if that meant give your money to God always,
yes. Yeah.
Well, you'd have nothing. Coupled with the fact that, you know, Scripture tells you to give a portion.
I know. There's no argument. There's so many holes in it. And the fact that he's got the wrong month to start with is ridiculous. The whole thing is. But the thing is that this is happening again and again and again.
Are people actually falling for it?
Of course they are.
Oh, yeah.
But the strange thing is, doesn't he read any of the, I don't know, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Exodus, wherever it's God says, in the seventh month, on the 15th of the...
I know.
It's said so many times in the seventh month. But he's had a prophecy.
So, and this is it now.
So his prophecy is overriding what the Bible says.
Yeah, he's overriding what the Bible... And this is my point. Is that these people, and they, again and again on Christian television, and Steve will agree with this, is that that's how they teach. God has shown them a new way of interpreting scripture, and they can make it sound whatever they like.
And so what they're actually basically doing is they're trying to encourage people to give money, and the way they're doing it is by convincing their greed, basically. Yeah. Exactly. They're not talking about give us you will get money in order to do God's work.
No.
It's you give us this money and you and it's always,
about a return. He says
it's always about the 60-fold and the 100-fold.
Yeah, the 100-fold. They talk about 1,000-fold.
Yes.
Yeah. Is that the best one? Is that the best investment you can think of?
Yeah.
You know, give them a pound, get 1,000 back.
The tragedy is, you know, that if they really had the right heart, which I'm very, very doubtful of in terms of when it comes to this financial point of view, you know, if they really had the right heart with that, then why would they pay? If they really need this money and they want to do it for the Lord and that, they're paying for someone to fly across to the station. They're paying him a wage to do this. Yeah. The guys that run the station are sort of, I'm sure they're not giving up their wages. Not that I'm saying necessarily, but there should be an element. If you're really that important about your viewers sacrificing, then why don't you make a few sacrifices?
They talk about faith. This is their big thing. These channels are talking about faith. If they had faith themselves, they would say to God, right, this is how much money we need. You know, if we're doing the right thing, you will provide the money. But they don't. So what they're doing is that they're pushing it on people's own faith and saying, if you don't pay, you won't get investing.
Yeah, they are. Do you know, one thing I can't stand, that's when people use scripture to manipulate people that don't really fully understand. And that must be held responsible,
and they're going to be accountable for that, for how many people's lives they...
It says, you know, that teachers will come under greater condemnation, isn't it? And rightly so. But, like, it's that thing of, if it really was all about sacrifice from a financial point of view, and if it really was about blessing, you know, what views of blessings have we got here? That the idea of money is the greatest blessing God can give, that's the blessing we should care about. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Do you know what I mean?
It's all about the kind of society we live in.
They don't just promise money, they promise blessings for your family, they promise that your son who's not a believer will become a believer, they promise...
Under what authority?
No authority at all.
Exactly.
It's incredible.
You sit back and just sort of think, the reality is, if God wants to bless you, there is not much you can do to stop. I'm not saying that, you know, that God, that there's no free will and stuff like that, but that God ultimately, his will be done. You know, that's said in the Lord's Prayer.
You don't need an intermediary.
You don't need an intermediary. You don't need to send money to people. No. You just need to live your life.
Yeah, I know.
But it's so strange that people go for it because it's so obviously unbiblical. I would understand what it would be slightly, but this is what scares me, that people believe in something that is so obviously unbiblical.
There's
and
a lack
this
of
is
knowledge.
How comes it has to be?
These people are performers. They are performers. They are talented. Because when you listen to what they're saying, they say it with such conviction. Yeah. Absolutely. They say it with such passion.
That you'd feel like
they say it as if they are so knowledgeable.
And while they're saying it, all the other people are all holding their arms up and they're agreeing. Yeah. They're saying, "Amen, hallelujah," to everything he says.
So
no discernment.
Discernment.
And what they're playing, they're feeding on, very often some young new Christians.
Yeah.
They're feeding on feelings of guilt and greed.
Yeah.
And the very idea that the reason you're giving money is in order to get 60-fold back or whatever it is. What is godly about that?
It goes completely against the grace of Christ, which is if I die.
True, that could happen.
I die.
She gives me a heart.
It's gambling.
It's sort of it's faith by works, isn't it? It's, I feel bad about things. I will follow what this televangelist says. Yeah. Give him, you know, 50, 60 quid, even though I can only afford about three.
That's how it's gambling.
It's
the world runs on gambling.
If that's true, it's obviously some universal law that I'm feeding
into.
He's
found a loophole in God's law. Oh, right, we can get God over
universal law.
This,
that there's loads of books written about universal laws and things. If you give, you get so much back that it's some
that
sort of
energy stuff.
It's like sowing and seeds and all that.
The roots are probably in some New Age practice or cults, isn't it? It's not Christian.
But I think that those people would get to a point when they realise it's something wrong about it.
Yes.
I became a Christian in a church where was this kind of prosperity, you know, teaching, not so much as you just said, but it was gradually, you know, going up, and almost all of those people have financial problems. I was teaching all the time about, you know, be blessed, give, and you will get back and everything. So people at some point, they just got, it's something wrong about it. There is no blessing in our life.
These people are giving money in. On the false promise, because of the credit crunch, they're poorer now than they were before.
Exactly, and it's actually sad because they will get disappointed and might get disappointed with God.
Yeah,
because maybe they would think it's something wrong about God.
False doctrine,
maybe they don't have enough faith and everything.
Pastors that head churches like that preach the prosperity gospel. And these pastors, well, they're getting richer and richer. It's working for them.
It's working for them.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. You know, hey, I had no money and I did this.
And now I've got all your money.
And now I've got an airplane, I've got all these things, because I gave.
It's like Catholic Church. You've got all of those priests, you know, who are so rich. And sometimes I know people that all of those priests are so incredibly rich. They've got cars. You know, everything, nice houses.
Then, I mean, we've known people that are in ministry, and because of their sincerity and because of their service, God does bless them. Yeah. But their needs are answered, their needs are met.
That's right.
You know, they will get the car that they need.
There's nothing wrong about it. Yeah.
Exactly. God will bless. Mm. Because it says in Scripture, doesn't it, that the birds look at, you know, if God will clothe them, feed them, he will meet your needs, everything, and more.
That's right.
But it's in service and humility.
No, exactly. He will do that because you're giving your life to him and you're doing his work.
Mm. It's lack of faith from them because they've got to the point where they've got overheads. They've got loads of staff. They've got to cover like £1 million a month. They can't think of any other way of doing it except, you know, they haven't got enough faith to get on their knees. I wouldn't say that I would, because they've obviously grown to a massive size.
But the reality is, you know, they preach about all these miracles, and I died and I saw heaven, and then I saved someone from a burning building, and then I woke up and it was all amazing, and all these amazing miracles of God they claim to happen, and yet they don't believe God can give them money without telling people to send it. I've said it in a few other discussions before, you know, I would love to run some huge Christian TV company, have no money, and say, Lord, If you want this to go on TV, by your supernatural power, let this happen by what can only be described as some kind of miracle. Because that would be amazing. Much more amazing than people
George
sending
Muller.
Money.
Yeah, George Muller of the orphanages in Bristol. He did not have a penny. He blamed in millions through prayer. Yeah. This is millions in the 19th century.
Is that the man who had the children round the table and pray every day for the dinner?
Yeah, probably. And breakfast. And sometimes. I have a friend, she was brought up in a George Miller homes.
Yeah.
And she's given her testimony out in Brazil and everywhere. Yeah. And he would, literally, there'd be no food and they would pray and there'd be a knock on the door and there'd be a basket of bread. And food for them, and food just came, you know. Yeah. And he did not do all what these are doing. He didn't plead poverty.
It's to do with needs, isn't it?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
It's God to do with what your needs are, not your wants and your.
How good
desires.
God actually is.
Yeah.
And he didn't want those children to starve.
No. And George Muller, you think that man is still known today for his wonderful work.
The trouble is, you're full of sort of this sort of say godly. Righteous anger about it, but you know that probably it'll just carry on. Yeah. And okay, these people will be called to account at some point in their lives or at their death or whatever. What about the poor people that are being fleeced the whole time?
You know, we have to encourage people. People that have been conned out of this, that not all Christians are like this. It's not a money making scheme. Yeah. Christian, it is for some.
Yeah.
I remember seeing a documentary. It was very, very. I mean, one of these documentaries that the maker must have thought, this is amazing. There was a guy that interviewed that was talking so much about prosperity and faith and money and how... It's so much talking about that. And you could tell there wasn't much in it in terms of his faith. And then by the end of the documentary, he found out that he'd been arrested for taking cocaine and having sex with male prostitutes. And he suddenly realised the link between those that have used the Christian faith as a business to have no strength in faith because they've seen logic. I mean, look at the Christian... music industry. How many people just think I can get? I know a friend of mine that said he made. He was in a really small little Christian club act, and he made loads of money. I mean, he wasn't actually a bad person. But it's one of those things in the Christian world. You can make a lot of money if you produce a half decent, not particularly amazing product.
Yeah.
Mm. And a lot of people have seen that, bought into it, and manipulate that. But you've got to point out that there are Christians that do have a strong faith, and that just because that's what you see on TV. It's a very poor representation.
Yep.
The only reason they're on TV is...
Where do you get to the point where we can actually say these things on Christian TV? Well, that's the thing. It's so strong on... You know, these things are so part of the fabric of a lot of Christian TV, but there's no space for people to say these things on Christian TV.
But it's not all Christian TV about it, is it?
No. Not all, because your channel doesn't do that, does it? No.
Not every Christian TV station does this, but
most of them do. The ones that are very Americanized do.
And there are Christian ministries, say, you know, the one that I listen to on the radio, that always says whenever they are asking about people giving and their financial needs, they will say, but for goodness sake, do not go without. Don't, if you can't afford it, do not think of giving to this.
Yeah.
And they get the money.
Far more than the manipulation. Yeah. We know somebody, he's in the Philippines, and we give X amount to him, direct debit. And now that man, I didn't know his bad needs, and it had been in my mind for a few months to really give him some money every month. And the day when he phoned from the Philippines, we were just chatting, and he's never ever told me of any need, never ever said of, you know, how they're doing over there or anything. And I just said to him, I said, by the way, I said, I know God's been speaking to me for a few months to send you X amount of money. I said, it's going to start from now. I said, it'll continue as long as we can continue to do it. I said, and if we can't continue to do it, I said, I will let you know in plenty of time. I said, but hopefully it could be increased. He was so thankful. I've never, ever heard a person being so thankful. He kept saying, oh, thank you. I said, don't thank me. I said, just thank God that we can do this. You know, but he still kept thanking and thanking and thanking. He said, this is such an answer to prayer. He hadn't voiced to us at all. He said, this is such an answer to prayer. He said, last week, he said, because they breed pigs to try to feed themselves. He said, last week, we couldn't even pay the few family members their little wage, what he would give them, because they didn't have money. And then he said that they didn't want to sell their one pig that was ready for selling to a local butcher because they wouldn't get much money. He said, but on that next day, when we decided we wouldn't do that, somebody came from out of town, said, we'd like to buy a pig from you. He got full money and he was able to pay wages and some more over for their foods. But that, I look to, when God moves on you to give something, you know that that's going to a good source. And that's far, yeah, far safer.
And you're not doing it because you think you're going to get rewarded.
No, sending that.
In terms of a tangible, you know, you didn't sit there and think, oh, well, if I bless this guy in the Philippines, I can have a nice holiday out there.
Yeah, no way.
There was nothing.
No way.
And that's the point.
Because God knows. He knows your heart and he knows your innermost thoughts. Yeah. And no way do I do a thing, and no Christian should ever do a thing where they think, I do this, I put God's arm up his back and he's going to give me And I think that's what a lot of them are doing. Yeah. And this, when I finished this conversation with this person in the Philippines, I was in tears because of his so thankful. Mm. I was in tears. Sarah was looking at me and thinking, what on earth's going on, Mum? You know? And I was so emotional, and I thought, God, I know it's going where you want it to be going. Mm. And that was that's your reward. Mm. That is your reward. Yeah, you know, not to get money back.
That gratitude that he had, that is
beautiful.
Missing from our society as well, though, isn't it?
The
gratitude, because we've been so spoilt. And I do wonder for the years ahead now, with, you know, financial problems, with people losing their jobs and money problems, and there, you know, being shortage of money, what will it bring out of our human nature? What will come out of this generation now that have had plenty and are going to
tighten up?
But what is going to happen to them? What will it bring out? Will it bring out, say, in the war years when people had to share, be good neighbours,
look after each other,
will that naturally come out of people to how they can help each other?
Yeah.
Or will it be, I'm going to keep what I've got?
Yeah.
Will it bring out the greed in people and
selfishness?
Or will it bring out that spirit of
hopefully
the spirit?
I'm thinking, you know, I'm be interested to see what will come out of our, you know, human nature in the next few years. With these, you know, problems.
I use the scripture, Psalm 115:14. May the Lord give me increase more and more, me and my children. And I've been using that scripture for a long time now, and I know what that scripture's done for us as a family. And I didn't do that for financial gain or anything, because God knows my heart. And I wouldn't increase, big time increase, to serve God big time out there. And if you know that scripture, as I say, Psalm 115:14, may you, Lord God, give me increase more and more, me and my children. So by that increase, I don't look to it as even just financial. I look to it as a spiritual increase, obviously a financial increase. Everything that God's got, and he's got far more than what we'll ever know of, if he can give to us what he's got and increase us as families, that we can grow and show that we have something that God has given to us and we can give out, because freely he gives, freely we receive and freely give.
And that's using scripture as it
should
be
used. Oh, my gosh, exactly.
That is using scripture.
Not manipulation.
And not in the way.
No, not in such a degrading. How can we degrade the word of God?
Exactly, that's what's happening.
I love it how this particular Christian TV is writing. They're telling us to trust in God by giving us their money. Mm. And you think, why should we're giving you our money because you aren't trusting in God?
Yeah.
That's the whole
exactly.
point.
Yes, that's it.
That's basically what it all boils down to. Just trust God in your finances. And also, one thing I've learned, because I don't have a vast amount of money at the moment, I'm not poor or anything, But I always have to sit back and wonder, oh, how much can I give to church or all that sort of thing? And I have to sit down, because I can spend hours beating myself up over it. And I'll phone up Christian friends of mine and go, look, this is what I've got in my account. This is what I think I should, blah, blah, blah. And sometimes you just have to trust what your heart feels and not think so much that one day you sit there and go, right, actually, no, I'm just going to give all of it because I just, that way I can't feel guilty if I have nothing. It's like, well, no, because then you will have nothing, Louis, and you'll be in trouble. It's like, just see what your heart feels, what Scripture feels. Don't keep being up and revisiting it every single minute of the day. Have I given too much or too little?
But, you know, that's why God puts us into fellowships, church families. You know, I've heard of people that, you know, a young man who's in a ministry that we know, who, you know, whose car had sort of broken down, needed, you know, £150, £200. Someone gave it to him. Mm. And that is what, you know, when you think of in the Acts, Book of Acts, the church was like, we had needs years ago. Someone would come along and give us the money. Yeah. You know, your needs are met by your fellow brothers and sisters.
They really are.
And that is, I don't know. That's
real Christian.
That is real, isn't it? That's real faith in everyday life.
In action.
Yeah, faith
giving.
In action.
Faith in action.
And also in giving them to you, they're also being grown in that particular.
In action.
Yeah, I know.
In action rather than lack of action, described as inaction.
I think we've made our point.
Cool.
There we go. We made our point. Any final words before we close?
Just think of the widow's mites. The widow's mites. Okay. That was all she could give. Yeah. But that meant so much more.
Yeah.
Because she gave from her insufficiency.
Yeah. Yep.
Not through her efficiency or what she had. Not through her surplus like a lot of people do.
Yeah.
She gave her from her heart.
And she wasn't expecting a hundredfold blessing.
Yeah. Or a thousandfold blessing, wherever that one comes from.
But the other thing is, just shows that as that money was coming in, a lot of vulnerable people out there
who
not only are, you know, taken in and sucked in, but it shows that they need that channel because they're sending that money in because it meets their needs. The teaching, that channel, maybe they're at home, maybe they can't go out to church, maybe they're stuck, they're lonely. That channel meets their needs.
Yeah, I know, but a lot of the teaching of that channel...
I know, but that's what they're receiving, that's what I'm saying. They're receiving it and they're grateful for it and that's how they're showing their gratitude.
I think they need to be wise. Just wise. Discern. Discern. Is this what God wants me to do?
Give me a different message to that.
Yeah.
This can't be the norm.
And we will never ask for money.
We would never ask for money.
Is that thing?
For money.
It's like that. Is that thing? If it becomes the scary thing is that this is the norm, and that's the thing that needs to start to change, or that people need to realise this isn't normal. This isn't quite.
This is not. That's not Christianity.
No.
We wouldn't ask for money even if we ran out of salmon and cream cheese.
That's right, yeah.
It's the cheapest salmon we could find.
Just pray for the increase.
I think it's good to have teaching in church about finances, giving and everything.
Yeah, it's an absolute reality.
But it doesn't have to be every Sunday.
Yeah, no.
We don't teach every Sunday about the same subject. This is what is terrible once a while, because people need to know about giving and everything, what's written in the Bible, but...
Yes, I mean, there's a reality, things have to be paid
but
for.
But it has to be good biblical teaching.
Exactly,
not
teaching
that benefits that particular church.
Yeah, exactly, in general, and not like give money to this church, you will be blessed. That's not the right attitude.
How many ministry newsletters do we get a month? And you have to, you feel pressurised
to
give.
But none of them are promising stuff.
No, they're not.
But if it's written, okay, if you want to help us. This is our account. That's fine. One little sentence. It's not like manipulating. Go give us. Yeah, they don't promise.
But it's getting more and more worldly, isn't it? The other way.
The great
they
thing
do things.
If we could get a church to be very honest with their community and say, look, we have no money. This is what we need. Boom, 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 boom. But as Christians need to be headstrong enough and faith strong enough to let Christ move, not emotions. It's a bit like when you watch Comic Relief, you know, you watch it and you send your money half out of guilt, half out, but you don't think about these kids ever again for the next 2 years. That's the problem. It should be it shouldn't be the same in church. You should wait for God to sort of start to let you realise that you need to give money to X, Y or Z. So it shouldn't be that we should hide things from people, yeah, that we should be open, but hopefully, you know, we're sensitive enough to when God wants us to help out with a particular individual in the church or a particular church fundraising thing, that we individually are sensitive to that rather than pressured or, not blackmailed, but, you know, sort of freaked out into doing it or intimidated into doing it. Good luck.
Really, when you think about it, sometimes back at, I'm thinking about when Stephen was treasurer, you'd have your annual where you'd have all what's come in through the year, all what's gone out through the year, what, you know, whether you're in the red or the black, okay, and then you would work from there. But none of these channels show or tell all the money that's come in. What we've done with it, has it been honourable? Has it been what God would want them to do? Has it been what God would want them to do? Because if it was transparent like that, that would make you sort of think, yeah, I'm comfortable to put into that because they're using their money wisely. They're using it in a godly way.
Yeah.
That would help.
Okay.
So, lots for that.
So we've said our stuff now.
I think so.
Okay. Yeah, well done.